Sheaf, St. Helena, California, February 4, 1907. Elder Sheaf, dear brother, I am writing to you in the early morning. In the night season I have had representations of your case, and have been conversing with some of the brethren in Washington, D.C., in regard to the work to be done in that city. Elder Sheaf, Satan has been at work upon your mind, and for a long time you have been entertaining his suggestions. Through his temptations you have been led to take a course of action in your home that has been a great evil. It has injured you and the cause of God. The Lord has given you tact and skill in knowledge to proclaim the last message of mercy to our world, that you might become a great blessing in Washington, D.C., but you have entered into temptation. Will you let Satan have the victory? You have lost your bearings, concerning many things, and cherish some views that bear the same mark of spiritual disease that has led to the disaffection at Battle Creek, and the enemy is working through you to spoil the flock of God. The Lord bids me say to you, stop right where you are. You are severely tempted, and for some time have been pursuing a course that will impair your future usefulness. The Lord has given you freedom of speech, that you might present the truth before the people. But you have been losing the grace of God out of your heart. You have taken a draught of a mixture prepared by the tempter. I do not want you to destroy yourself. Battle Creek is not the place where you will get light. The work being done there does not bear the signature of the divine. Another spirit has come in and taken possession of human minds. The Lord God of Israel will surely punish the men who have set at naught his counsel. The Word of God tells us that just such things would come in these last days. The message of mercy that was brought from the Father was meant for the ears of the whole world. Christ came to unveil the character of God. He did not select a part of the human race and place a limited value on them. His grace is for all, and the estimate he places on the human soul is infinite. His power also is unlimited by right of his position with the Father. Had it not been for the great sacrifice he made in giving his life for mankind, the human race would have perished in their sin. But after the fall of Satan and man, Christ stepped in to give us another trial. He alone could give man another opportunity to recover himself, for only he who was equal with God could carry out the great scheme of redemption. When Christ has given such an example of comprehensive love, should an exclusive spirit be cherished by those who profess his name? Christ says, I am the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. He is the great fountain of life and salvation. The Lord has greatly blessed you, Brother Sheaf, and he desires that you shall no longer walk in the path you have been treading, but step back into the path that Christ has formed by his own example. Christ is the bright and morning star. He reflects his light to every class of people in the world. When you take any other position than that which Christ took, you are certainly walking in a false path. Oh, what a God we have that he should so love the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Collecting all the riches of his grace, all the resources of his infinite love, he has placed them at the disposal of the human family, that as many as receive him might have power to become the sons of God. All who believe in his name may become one with Christ in God. My brother, you have let spiritual pride come into your heart. You have given the tempter an open door through which he could enter and work upon your mind. Will you give him the right of way, as many are doing in Battle Creek? Before you go any further in this path you have entered upon, stop and consider the results. Make a halt right where you are. If you do not, you will apostatize from the truth. You and your wife must be converted, or you will, in the madness of your deceived souls, take some rash and dreadful step. Watch, pray, repent, and be converted. In his mercy and grace, God desires to let you see your wrongs, that you may repent and become reconverted. You may become kind and thoughtful, and reveal to others that your hearts are made white in the blood of the Lamb. Let not another blot of sin come upon your soul. The Father calls you to live the life of Christ, to put away the passionate temper, and henceforth to walk in meekness and lowliness of mind. He desires that you and Sister Sheaf shall become a son and daughter in the heavenly family. Your Heavenly Father, the God of heaven and earth, gave everything into the hands of Christ for those who will give up their hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil and become the children of light. He did all this to make you and your wife patient and kind to one another. Will you not be convinced of your wrong and be renewed in the spirit of your mind? The message of mercy from the Father was given to the world through Christ. An atmosphere of grace and peace always surrounded his life. In his life, he gave evidence of what everyone who believes in his name may give evidence, that he possessed the gift of thoughtful kindness. Christ's followers may reveal the same characteristics in their associations with one another. All who profess the name of Christ must represent his kindness in their lives. Never in speech or action should they manifest an opposite spirit. Whosoever will may surround his soul with an atmosphere of kindness and patience and love, and these graces represent eternal life to the receiver. Will you now be reconverted? Your present good and your eternal welfare demand that you repent and be converted. Humble your heart before God and become one of his little children. My brother, look unto Jesus. You need not look to any human agency for the supply of grace that you can find in its perfection in Christ. The Savior took human nature upon him and came to this earth, and in his humanity he was tempted in all points, like as human beings are tempted. Thus was removed every excuse for the plea that Christ does not know what temptations come to man. The Savior came to succor all who are tempted. Through his sacrifice, Christ has made provision for you, that you may become sweet in disposition, meek and lowly of heart. My brother, when you are sorely provoked to say or do things that make you a weak man, think of the promise. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in my throne. Revelation 3, verse 21. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Revelation 2, verse 26. When men or women are under the temptations of Satan, let them look constantly to Jesus for aid, and not utter words of passion that dishonor Christ. If the husband speaks unkindly, let the wife not speak a word in response, for at such times silence is eloquence. This is the best way to meet the words that are prompted by the tempter. Let husband and wife treat each other kindly under all circumstances. Then the children will learn from them lessons of forbearance. Never, never give your children an education in fault-finding. Set them an example that will help them to prepare for the future immortal life. Let not your record be marred by one false word or act. Let it be said of you, ye are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Keep the thought together with God ever in mind. A minister of Jesus Christ should never forget his calling. He should never forget that he is to minister in word and doctrine. He should have a clean, pure spirit. He should possess his soul in patience and ever remember that the heavenly universe is looking with deepest interest upon the one who is appointed to be a mouthpiece for God. Will you humble your heart now before God? Will you fall upon the rock and be broken? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1, verse 14. This was done to convince us that there is no love in the universe but God's, and that the happiness of man consists in loving Him, doing His will, and carrying out His precepts. My brother, the Lord desires you to guard against any doctrines that would lead to dissension and strife. You are charged to hold the beginning of your confidence firm unto the end. There is need of much prayer. The warning is given us in the Word. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Brother Sheaf, is not this warning fulfilled in what we see in Battle Creek? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received, and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace be with you. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 9. Let no man unsettle your faith. The Lord is greatly dishonored by those in Battle Creek who are turning away from the truth. I am sorry for them, and sorry that you are becoming confused by the doctrines that are being presented to lead souls from the true faith. May the Lord help you not to spoil your record. In the name of the Lord, I say to you, humble your heart before God and practice the life of Christ, else you will lose your soul. My brother, is it a strange thing that the word of God should be fulfilled? This word has declared just what will be. And now, when this comes to pass, should we act as a church surprised? May the Lord help you to be guarded. Watch unto prayer and guard your spirit, for God cannot be with you to help you in overcoming when you do not seek to overcome, but act as the evil one desires you to act. We are now preparing for the future, immortal life. Do not, I beg of you, turn aside to strange doctrines. In the visions of the night, I am charged by the Lord to warn you against this. I want you to be a happy man in this life, a representation of what a minister of Christ should be. Work diligently to make your calling and election sure. Bring peace into your heart, even the peace of Christ. Learn of Christ, and thus become fitted to unite with the family of the redeemed. Our time here is short. Prepare, prepare to meet thy God. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. So shall he be my disciple. See John 15, verse 8. The Lord Jesus is to be your pattern. No man is to please himself. I want you to know what the grace of Christ can do for you. I want you to speak sound words, with true, eloquent utterance. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ with the whole heart. God expects you to purify your soul from all defilement. True conversion means a radical change of heart. The richest blessings are for you and all others who preach the word. But we must ever remember the words, "Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Colossians 3, verse 3. The Savior promises to satisfy the most urgent needs of the soul. He promises, "The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." John 4, verse 14. You need to be converted every day in order to be a vessel unto honor, one who can teach others. Do not make a mistake. Your soul is precious, and Christ will save you, if you will be saved by purifying your soul through obedience to the truth.